It's time
to meet the women who make a living around fast cars.
Hello, ladies.
This is Women Take the Wheel.
Sit down, strap in, and turn on all you've got.
Nikki Clark is taking you behind the scenes.
You're ready to win.
Let me tell you, these cars, they get up and go pretty good.
Introducing you to women drivers,
crew members,
and fans of the racing world.
Plus, Nikki is bringing you the latest racing news in Indiana and beyond.
We're going to bring it to you from the tower as they get ready to pull into the beach.
From the All Indiana Podcast Network.
All right, strap yourselves in.
Woo! Getting off the track
and in your ears. This is Women Take the Wheel.
Come on, baby.
With your host.
Here we go.
Nikki Clark.
Hi, I'm Nikki Clark, your host for Women Take the Wheel, here on the All Indiana Podcast Network. This week, we have a special Father's Day tribute to those racing dads out there. These men have inspired their daughters and raised some pretty kick-ass ladies. Listen as past guests share stories of special bonds with their dads and how they ignited their passion for motorsports. Stay tuned.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, so today's Women Take the Wheel is a special shout out to the men who first got many of us ladies interested in racing. And that would be our dads. My own dad, one Mr. Richard Clark Sr., credit him or blame him, whichever you want to choose, for getting me hooked on racing. I've been going to the drag race since I was born. My dad, he started, you know, racing when he was in his teens. When I was growing up, he's a crew chief on a top elk called Dragster, and then he started Clark Copperhead Gaskets. In Northeast Minneapolis, we're the only family I knew who had a top elk called Dragster in their garage, and it was a custom-built garage, so there were so many. It was so big to fit the race car in it, and I'd go out there and watch my dad work on the race car, and I'm not going to lie, I think I can change a top elk haul dragster motor before I could change my own daily driver motor. Yeah, and so, you know, many summers spent watching my dad there. The only vacations I knew as a kid was going to Brainerd, you know, good old BIR, and for the points meet in May, and then the national event, the North Star Nationals, in August. I was lucky to see my dad win there twice, which is very cool, to do your old winner circle pictures. It was a big deal to drive down the tow vehicle there, you know, and I have five kids in my family and then you have crew people. So there was always fights. There was always fights to see who got to ride down the tow vehicle, you know, and if I wasn't hanging out in the Fursell Clark pit, I was over at Vern Moat's pit playing with his daughter, Jody. We were friends for a long time. And my dad is one of the most generous people you'll ever meet. He will give you the shirt off his back, especially at the races. On Thursdays, my parents would grill out and have a special barbecue for the safety safari and the NHRA workers. They would, you know, grill up sausages, give them chips, drinks, and everything. Just say thank you, you know, for all the hard work they do. They also used to, along with Dennis Roussel and Rick Johnson, they would host a racer party. And they get food and drink and everything donated. And so we'd have this huge party. I just remember just packed with everybody at the racetrack, you know, just having a good time, you know, after everything was shut down. And it was so much fun. Another childhood memory with my dad is the, I don't know about you kids, but when I was a kid, there was no cute Gap shirts or Old Navy shirts. Every shirt, t-shirt I owned had a race car on them or the race car sponsor. And I still have many of them. It was just so much fun. I just remember, you know, wearing those to school and everybody's like, who's that? And I'm like, hello, you know, don't you know who that is? You know, and, you know, when I got older, you know, when the chance came up to work in racing, I jumped at the chance. And I remember when I was being interviewed, my boss was like, wow, I'm impressed. You know, you speak racing. I'm like, well, yeah, I grew up there. I know everybody. And I even looked at pictures on his wall and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know so-and-so. I know so-and-so. Yeah. So that came in handy when I wanted to get into a career in racing. So I just want to say thank you to my dad. Thank you for everything you taught me and all the adventures you brought me on in racing. And I really appreciate it. Now let's hear from some other ladies, you know, and how their dads inspired them in racing. First up is Debbie Guild. She is leading PNC Bank's drive to help get more women into motorsports. She tells us how her dad passed on his passion for cars and the important lessons he taught her growing up.
My background with my dad, I grew up kicking dirt, in the garage behind him. And, I joke around that my version of home is, everybody says, well, I smell fresh baked cookies that reminds them of home. When I smell like grease and gas, that reminds me of home.
And I laugh because I'm the same way. I was at work one time and somebody was using a solvent and they're like, oh, ew, what's that smell? I'm like, that's childhood memories, man. And it was so serious. And that's going to move into our next thing, because the thing I love about when you love what you do and you're passionate what you do, it makes your job even better. And you are passionate about motorsports and you have such a great story. So tell us how you got into motorsports and where your love for racing came from.
Yeah, my dad just really valued anything with a motor. And so I grew up thinking that, everybody had the things that we had. So at one point, we had tractors, everything from literally farm tractors to riding lawnmowers to boats to, oddly enough, planes. We had a plane growing up in St. Augustine, Florida, and lots of cars. I think at the highest count, we had like 35 cars on my property, my parents' property in St. Augustine. And my dad just really valued anything with a motor. And he restored these old cars. But it was interesting because at one point we literally didn't have hot running water in the house. But we had all these cars and planes and this and that and the other. And we really thought that was normal. We thought that was how everybody grew up. We thought that was a very normal
That's
thing.
Normal. That is totally normal.
Yeah.
And he taught you how to work on your own cars and everything.
He did. He taught me, when all of my friends were, earning their, teenage money babysitting, I changed oil for my friends for $5. We would go down to the auto parts store, get the filter and get the, I already had all the tools. But my dad taught me to do that. He taught me to, I switched out my first transmission, under my dad's tutelage. And his advice to me was, I want you to know how to do this. I don't mind if, at a certain point you're able to pay somebody else to do it for you, but I want you to be able to do it yourself so that you have a fundamental understanding and that you're never dependent on somebody else to do this for you. So it's, I think, a really wonderful part of my upbringing as I look back on it.
See, and we're talking about that. We're raised right by our dads. Our dads show us you can hire somebody, but you kind of take a little bit joy knowing that you can do it yourself.
Yeah, and that's spot on, and that's a really good marker for somebody. I think that the whole notion of being a dad's girl or daddy's girl is one of the, as I talk to these women who are in motorsports, I say, I think about what they have in common, and to a name so far, they've all said, hey, I would go out with my dad, I'd go to these racing events, or I'd hang out and learn, different aspects of the sport. So that was one marker. The other marker, as I mentioned, was, being good at and being curious about math. I think if you've got those two things and you're listening, you might want to consider a career in motorsports.
Well, Next is Anna Chatton. She's a gearbox specialist for the Chip Ganassi Racing IndyCar driven by Jimmy Johnson. Her dad introduced her to racing through flat track motorcycles, and it has really shaped her career. Wow. And how did you get into it? Like, how did you know that, you know, I want to work on cars? And, you know, but, yeah, you know, in a couple that long ago, lots of girls weren't like, hey, sign me up. I want to work on a race car.
For sure. I mean, my initial interest and love for motor racing obviously came from my dad. He was a flat track motorcycle racer and retired from racing motorcycles when I was a kid, bought himself a go-kart to race and drug me to the racetrack, and I saw a bunch of other little boys doing it, and I wanted to try it. And so he wasn't like super gung-ho on it at first, but my mom encouraged him, you know, if I wanted to try it, to let me give it a shot. So I started racing go-karts, and basically that was, you know, I was hooked after that. And so I karted with him from the age of like 8 until I was 18. And I grew up in Central Illinois, Peoria. And I actually worked in high school, like a co-op program in manufacturing. Peoria is a pretty big industrial town. And it was probably the best thing I ever did because through that co-op program in high school, you know, I worked in a machine shop. And I definitely, my love for mechanical things came because my dad, you know, required me to work on my go-kart as we raced. But as I worked in that machine shop all summer long, I thought, man, this is not something I want to do every day for the rest of my life. I wanted to have a job I really loved and something I was passionate about, because we all know that we're really good at things when we love what we're doing. So I decided I wanted to work on race cars. So basically, yep, I graduated high school and I moved to Northern California, and I attended like a technical school just geared towards race car mechanics. And it was kind of like a year-long apprenticeship. And so I learned some skill set there, but most importantly, I met some people. And basically, I moved to Florida after that, and I worked for, you know, just like other sports, and I'm sure drag racing is somewhat similar. You know, I just kind of moved my way up through the ranks. I worked for a school series, and then I worked for an Atlantic team until I got my first opportunity on a big car, early 2000s-ish, and I started doing gearboxes then, and I've never looked back.
Oh my goodness. And I love the fact that your dad had you work on your car, because I love when it's, when it's like, if you're going to drive it, you're going to know how it works.
Yeah, for sure. That was his requirement. So, yeah.
And it got you interested.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure it did.
We're going back to the very first episode of Women Take the Wheel with top fuel driver Leah Pruitt. She started driving junior dragsters at the tender age of 8. She shares how her dad inspired her need for speed.
I wouldn't necessarily call it inspired. I think I would call it, I was the youngest kid in the family, and like, you're kind of going to go wherever your family goes.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
My dad was a land speed racer at Bonneville. He'd race once, twice a year, a couple times at the dry lake bed. He had a 1988 Ford-powered naturally aspirated Thunderbird, setting records about 250, 260 miles an hour on the salt. So that's where I got my first taste of motorsports, from when I was 6 months old. And from there, he just wanted to continue racing with his family, but it was just my sister and I, so two young girls. And that's when he had found the NHRA and their junior series. So my older sister started junior racing, and I'm just being toted along from like 4 or 5, 6 years old and 7 years old. And by the time I turned 8, I wanted to do, you know, what my older sister was doing. And that's how I got started, essentially. But the absolute like need for speed in my bones and my blood comes from my dad, and it comes from land speed racing and not necessarily even drag racing. So I think that's why I kind of have a need for speed all over the board.
Next, the Indy 500 ladies old-timers are in the house. Susanna Stapp and Lee Butera were both raised by men who played big parts in racing history and inspired their daughters to carry on their legacy. And then, so then we moved to your dad,
who's done so much for the sport too. I mean, from what he said, I'm like, he's like the leader of the midget race car racing.
Yeah, he was.
Then your dad, then he's also so cool.
Yeah, he actually owned his first midget when he was 14, and he wasn't old enough to actually drive it to the track. So he had to hire a driver who had a truck and trailer who could drive it to the track and then drive it on the track when they got there. And then he realized he was always a big man. And he realized that midgets were a little too small for him. So he started building and owning sprint cars. And that's where he made his mark in the world. He drove, set a new track record at Terre Haute in 1964. And then my brother was born and he stopped racing. And he just started building and fielding race cars for other drivers. And in 71, they moved to Brownsburg, Indiana. He built a shop, started building sprint cars. In 73, Poncho started driving for him. And together they won two championships with USAC and like 40 sprint car races, I believe. And yeah,
dude, I just love watching her talk about her dad. So cool.
She does. She lights up. I love it.
Dude, he was cool.
Yeah, he was. And he just passed away last April. So, I appreciate that. We really miss him. But I flip through and see pictures and everything and all the stories. My dad was a heck of a storyteller. He would have been a great podcaster. But the podcast would have never ended. It would have just gone on and on.
Well, and next we have Lee then too. And you may remember her daughter has been on the podcast, little Apple Girl Art Katie. And okay. Now we got the Big Apple.
I am OG Apple. I am it. Yeah.
Yeah. And your dad was same thing, a badass. He is like in all motorsports. He was like the man in all motorsports, fabricating cars and everything. So tell us about the amazing man your dad was.
She does a good job, doesn't she? She's like on top of her game.
Dude. I try.
he was a famous car builder. He was a famous drag racer, chassis builder. We came from Kenosha. We moved to California in 68. He built... It's easy for me to cut right to the chase and say he built the snake and the mongoose. People go, oh, yeah, that's... Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there was... famous cars in the 70s that he built. Then he became a street rodder. And then in 82, I finally conned him into coming here. I had already been here. He came to the race when he was a kid. Always said that, you know, he was all in love with it. But there was a bunch of years where he called it roundy rod racing. And I had been super V racing. And we came to the Speedway. And I wasn't old enough either with my fake ID. You know, sorry, Barbara, if you're listening.
Surprised.
Yeah. But, I had worked for Simpson and ran the suites here, and I used to call him from the bank of payphones and say, dude, you're missing this. And there was a lot of drag race guys that were here, and Gaius was here at the time, and then Bernstein came and everything. And so finally in 82, he decided he was coming and hired Dennis Firestone, who was our Super V driver. So that was like house car, and we ran the 82, and then he came back in 85 and 87, ran with Steve Krisloff, and... Sammy Swindell. Sammy didn't make the show. So, yeah, we have a vested interest in 16s. In fact, my mom had a truck come home this week with all my mom's belongings. Oh. And there was a whole packet of giant envelopes. And the return address was the Speedway's address and our suite number. Because I spent a whole summer and I'd send stuff home. And all this stuff was a return address, 16th Street, you know, care of IMS.
And I was reading up on him. And he was like, they called him like a home hot rod builder because he'd do all this like in your garage.
He worked out of our garage. Yep.
There was no like shop in Brownsburg.
No. And like you'd have driver's ed. And every day that I had in the car, we would just so happen to drive by my house so that, you know, the cops would be there on their lunch break and the driver's ed teacher would be there and they'd all go in the garage. And me and the rest of the kids would just go in the house and get popsicle or whatever. It'd be like, can we drive? You know, what's your dad working on? But yeah, every cop knew us kids. They just were, it was nice. You'd come home, he'd be out there with the dog. It was old school.
Yeah, so like his was the place to be. Another great storyteller.
Yeah. Oh, he would have a podcast. He would never stop talking. Yeah, he would never stop talking. It would be sketchy and questionable.
There are so many stories they can't tell, though. There's so many race stories you just can't tell.
Next, we go across the pond and talk to top alcohol driver Julie Natus. She shares the special symbol she keeps on her car to honor her dad. Well, something I usually like to start with is people's story about how they got into racing.
And yours is interesting because if you don't know, Julie's from Norway. Yep. And so tell me how you got into the love of the sport.
Well, I grew up around racing. My grandfather and dad were racers over in Europe, and I pretty much grew up at the racetracks in Europe like everyone out here grew up at the racetracks out here in America. So I followed my dad as a kid. He was racing Pro Mod in the European Drag Racing Championship. I was on the road with him whenever he was racing, and then, of course, when I was 8, I was like, Dad, I want to race too. Like, I couldn't wait to start racing. So the year I turned 9, I got my own junior dragster, and I've been racing ever since.
And I was reading, you didn't just do dragster.
No.
You did, like, other cars, too.
Yeah, so I did junior dragster. Then I got into go-karts because the drag racing season over in Europe, and when you're just, like, racing around for fun at local racetracks, it's not really a whole lot of events. So my dad got me and my brother into go-karting. And then from there, I got my Super Comp Dragster. And then I was still in go-karts. So I did drag racing, go-karts. And then we added formula cars on that too.
Oh my God.
Yes. We were really busy. And then it came to the point where I was racing Super Comp Dragster, go-karts, and formula cars all at once. And I had to pick and choose. And my love has always been for drag racing. So really? I decided to stick with that. So, but yeah, it was fun. I've also been in door cars. Like, I got my license in a 7-second door car just, like, to see how it is. Because I've always been down to strip and dragsters. But really wanted to try. And also, my dad was a Pro Mod racer. So, obviously, oh, yeah. I wanted to see, like, maybe I should be in Pro Mods and not Top Fuel dragsters. Because he did Pro Mod, then jumped into a dragster. So, yeah.
I hear Pro Mods are a beast to drive, though, because I know I asked Shelly Payne one time, because she did both, Top Fuel, and I'm like, what's easier to drive? She's like, oh, the Top Fuel. The Pro Mod's a beast to drive.
That's what my dad says, too. He's like, I don't want you in a Pro Mod or a funny car. We can stick with the dragsters, but yeah, I'll let you try the door car. And my dad, I think he regretted it a little bit that he put me in the door car because I absolutely loved it. And I still, to this day, would love to drive a Pro Mod or a funny car again. Although my love is for the dragster and I really do want to do Top Fuel. So.
And here's a cute thing because I was looking at your bio, I was looking you up. Your cars when you're younger had the Batman symbol on it. What was with that?
Yes. So it started out with my dad's first Pro Mod car. Mm-hmm. When he started racing, like, a long time ago, and it was sitting in the shop, and one of his friends came over, and he was like, oh, it's all black. It kind of looks like a Batman car. Ah. And my dad was like, yep, that's it. We're sticking a Batman logo on it, and ever since, we've had Batman logos on all of our cars, so that's really the story.
Do you still have it on your top, your A-fuel car?
No, I don't. I remember Something my first year I had like a small one, but no, I really do should have it on there though.
For top alcohol dragster driver Kelly Kondratic, her father not only got her into racing, but now working on her mom.
And now we were talking and she's driven so many different cars. So tell me what kind of cars you've driven and when did you start driving?
Yeah, started driving junior dragsters, was one of the lucky kids that kind of got into that program. Watched my dad doing the Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series growing up, you know, so a kind of natural start into the junior dragsters. Back then, they didn't have the junior dragsters at all our divisionals and stuff, so got to go along with some family friends that would take me to races, and then as I kind of got older, aged out of juniors, that kind of relationship building still continued. Other people took me to races in bracket racing, and then was offered a Super Street car and kind of started my Super Street journey in that way. Other people loaning me cars, taking me around, and really getting me introduced into the sport.
Well, that's how it happens. You got to know somebody and then slowly move in. Out of all those cars, did you have a favorite?
Ooh.
That you like to drive?
Yeah, we used to have this Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme, and I think everybody can relate relate to like their first car. We had so many people come up and say, I used to have a 1987 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme too. And so, yeah, and it looked like a grocery getter. It totally looked like just a car, a sleeper, but it won lots of races, not just with me, but it had a lot of really great drivers behind the wheel of that car. So I felt really lucky to be able to be just one of the lucky kids that got to drive it too.
Yeah. That we even said that we're just at the drag illustrating, and he is pointing out how, you know, how lucky some families were to get into the junior drag racing, and they're much more manageable now, I think, than they were back then.
Yeah, and I you know, it's exciting to see the growth of that program. As envious as I am of the kids that now get to run at all of our divisional events, and I say, you know, why don't we have that? I think it's so great for keeping families together and keeping people doing this sport together, and kids get to see what it looks like to progress into other classes and make those relationships and really prove that when they're young. So it's exciting.
That's been overall with us, is that racing is family. I mean, everybody keeps talking about PIR being a big family reunion, because it's like, oh, I get to see my family this weekend.
Yeah,
so
it's a family we get to choose too. So, you know, which is kind of flattering, right? Yeah. Like we get to build these relationships and work with the people that we choose that family. So.
And now, so your family raced also. What'd they race?
Yeah, my dad has been racing for, gosh, every year. I feel like I tack on like 3 more years. It just feels like every year is longer and longer. About 30 years now, and him and his brothers got into it when they were young, and he's the one that's been, you know, carried the family torch in that. My mom has interest in getting into it too. We've been building her a stalker slowly but surely.
That's very cool.
Yep. She'll have a 1969 Mach 1 Mustang that we're putting back together. It's actually my dad's first race car that he had, and he put it into a race car, and so we're, you know, building that, converting it back to stock, putting it all together. It's taking some time to get all the parts and put everything together, but so she'll have her race car, and I'll have the Super Street car. We'll continue to do that as we can, but working with some other teams to do the top alcohol stuff, because that's really where my...
Tara Graves is up next, and since talking to her last, she's become a mother. So congratulations, Tara. She tells us how she begged her dad to put her behind the wheel.
So let's talk about how you got started into racing. What got your interest into racing?
So my dad and my uncle Rob, whom you know, is a crew chief for Terry McMillan, kind of was into A-fuel racing. I remember going to the track as a kid, you know, riding in the tractor trailer. And my dad worked for Daryl Hitchman out of California. Eventually he moved down to Texas, and we ran a lot of D4 divisionals and some of the nationals. And, you know, it was really fun growing up, just being able to see, you know, all of that. And I kept asking my dad, you know, over and over and over, Dad, can we please get a junior? Can we please get a junior? And eventually I talked him into it when I was around 8. And we have a local track about 20 miles from our house, Redline Raceway. That's where I grew up racing pretty much every Friday night, doing brackets. And eventually I got into Super Comp.
And finally, Paige Coughlin. She's a third-generation racer in the Jeggs family, and she calls her dad, Troy Sr., her partner in crime.
And many of you may recognize her last name, Coughlin. It's the Jeggs family from Jeggs Performance, and I got to tell you, I love the Jeggs family, the Coughlin family. I've known you guys since I was born. I adore Paige's dad, Troy Sr. He's just a riot. I've sat and had drinks. I actually one time had sips of apple pie moonshine when he won a race.
You know, I'm not surprised at hearing that.
Yes, and
that
the cigar.
Was a common beverage.
Yes, as beverage of choice. So we're going to talk to everybody. I just love, you know, you're such a great role model and great influence, because you're a third generation racer, but you do so much more. But let's talk first about your racing. Where you know, when, what age you decided to get into racing, because we all know how. Obviously, how you got into racing through your family. But when did you decide, you know what, I want to go fast too?
Well, you know, growing up riding horses for, I mean, ever since I was 8 years old, and you know, I always knew how involved our family was in the racing. I mean, literally ever since I was born, my dad's been on the road in his variety of classes. And I tried it once around 8 years old. And, you know, I was more involved in the horseback riding. So I pursued that until I was about 14 years old. And I got more involved in, like, school sports and, like, that kind of stuff. And then my dad's like, well, why don't you just try the junior dragsters? And I was like, I mean, okay, sure. It's my dad saying that, you know, he's my partner in crime. If he says try it, then I will try it. And that's kind of when I fell in love with it. Mostly I just loved the competitive side of it, and competing with kids in different age ranges was really cool. And, you know, we mainly focused just racing at, like, National Trail Raceway. That was my home track right in Hebron, Ohio. And we did, like, some stuff around the Midwest. We didn't travel a whole bunch. And I remember we went to Bristol 1 year as well, but I was mainly on the road with my dad with his pro mod team. You know, that's where my heart was. Mm-hmm. I loved following them around. I would do a lot of their media content on my dad and all how he was doing at every race. Like, that's what I absolutely loved. So I did the junior dragsters till I was about 16 years old. And then I remember coming out of volleyball practice, and my dad's like, you know, I think we're going to start building that McIlvaine race car today. And I was, like, taken aback by it because I had not expected that whatsoever. you know, I had sat in a few McIlvaine race cars before. You know, I had to watch my brother for a year to get a little bit more familiar with the race car. And I wanted to be in super comp. So I was just completely shocked, lost of words. I remember calling me about it. And, you know, I've always had the desire to run pro modified because that's what my dad did. And the only other person I ever want to be like is my dad. And so we're talking about it, and we're like, well, why don't we start off in top sportsmen, and then we can always work our way up. And, you know, we've had great connections with the pro line guys and elite guys, I mean, for years. And so my dad was just doing some research, and he actually went out to the no prep race at National Trail Raceway, their season opener. And he was just amazed by what he saw. I mean, the racetrack was absolutely packed. He's like, I haven't seen that since I was a kid. And I was like, well, that's awesome for that track. And to hear that so many people were coming out to watch some drag racing, that's so exciting, especially after the COVID-19 pandemic was at its peak. And, you know, we couldn't have as many spectators. So it was awesome to hear that people were coming to watch. And so he was like, you know what, maybe we ought to, like, do some more research in this. Like, let's learn more about this, and maybe this is something we need to get into. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'd love to learn more about it. And the more I did, the more I fell in love with it. And I got to know some of the drivers through my internship with Drag Illustrated. I actually wrote a story on the season opener of No Prep Kings. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, this is the coolest thing because – I mean, I guess it's a TV show, but you're running on a non-prep surface. It's all, like, 8 mile. I mean, you can be yourself over there. You're not holding anything back. And you're out there to win a race and do your part. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is so different. It's very unique compared to what any other family member has ever done before. And I was like, you know what, if I have the opportunity to drive a door cart in general, I want to take advantage of this opportunity to get into No Prep Kings, because this could take, I mean, our family and Jags in a totally different direction. And it also gives me an opportunity to branch out from the Coughlin name and just be myself, which is really, really exciting to me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Thank you again for listening and happy Father's Day to all those racing dads out there. I'm Nikki Clark and this is Women Take the Wheel. Be sure to connect and follow on Facebook when you search for Women Take the Wheel podcast. And be sure to follow and subscribe to this podcast now on the All Indiana Podcast Network.
From the All Indiana Podcast Network,
this is Women Take the Wheel
with Nikki Clark. Follow and subscribe to this podcast now and discover even more great podcasts on the All Indiana Podcast Network. Online at allindianapodcastnetwork.com.
allindianapodcastnetwork.com.